Good to be with you this morning to listen to the worship and praise and adoration of our brethren. Trust the Lord was exalted among us. Now I'm going to read some verses from one passage today this morning. It's Hebrews chapter 13. I want to think about some of the highlights in this chapter. And they describe the cardinal truths that belong to the Christian doctrine. So if you have your Bible close to you, I want to start to read with you, please, in Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to start at verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor in no wise forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse number 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, forever. Verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, mature, in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Those are the readings that I want to just say a few things about today. I recognize that wherever we go in assembly life, everyone is at a different level of spiritual knowledge and appreciation of the person of Christ. So we would like to be simple and to the point that all, whatever age group we're in and whatever knowledge we have, will appreciate something of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to remind our hearts that in the New Testament of the Bible that we read, there are 21 epistles. 20 of those bear the name and of the author who wrote them. However, the book of Hebrews doesn't have an author recorded. And I'm making a suggestion that means that all focus and all our attention is on the preeminent Christ. Man is insignificant in comparison. Who wrote it is not the point. We want to exalt the work and person of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, some of these hymns bring us to appreciate more of our Lord Jesus Christ. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair that fill the heavenly train. I would like to make a few suggestions now. Wouldn't want to take away anything from the book of Hebrews, but personally speaking, it's a very hard book to understand. And I'm making a suggestion that in the overview, there are three major sections to this epistle. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ is brought before us, for example, in the first section, chapter 1 to chapter 4. His preeminence is the whole idea. You know, for example, chapter 1, he's described as the Son of God. Chapter 2, he's described as the Son of Man. And these are the characteristics that will allow him to be the perfect great high priest at God's right hand. The second section is in the center, is the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's chapter 5 through chapter 10. And many, many times in that section, it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It is forever. It's in perpetuity. It will never end. And then from chapter 11 through chapter 13 is the pathway of the Lord Jesus and his presence that we enjoy and others do, even when he was here on earth and as we read the inspired word of God. It might be worth saying another thing here. Hebrews has 13 chapters. Now, I understand the original scriptures didn't have chapters or verses, but in our authorized text of King James 16 and 11, there are verses and there are chapters. And so 13 is prominent in the Hebrew letter. For example, there are three better things or persons, 13 of these, as you read them through the scripture. There are 13 references the words, let us. And in chapter 13, there's the middle verse of the chapter. It's verse number 13. And in that chapter, the authorized text, there are 13 words in the English language. I was just thinking about three of these, let us, well known. Chapter 6, for example, let us go on. That is progress. And that has to do with that section of stunted growth before in chapter 5 and so on. And then chapter 10, let us draw near. You see, it's a tremendous privilege for the saints of this age, whether they're Jews or Gentiles, to draw right into the immediate presence of God and appreciate our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 13, we've read, let us go forth unto him. See, that's our preservation as the pathway develops ahead of us and difficulties increase. And that brings us to chapter 13. And again, I've enjoyed here. There are three major divisions to this chapter. If you have your Bible handy, please look at it. See in verses 1 to 9, that's the first section of this great chapter. The principles of the kingdom are outlined. For example, in verse 1, let brotherly love continue, Philadelphia love. In the center part of the chapter, verses 10 through 19, we have the privileges of the believer outlined. And for example, we have the privilege of going forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And then, of course, from verse 20 to verse 25, at the end of the chapter, we have the power of resurrection. And that's what we read there in verse number 20. The God of peace that brought again from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And that power, as the Ephesian letter shows, is available to us. Now here's what I want to talk about for a few minutes. Some of the cardinal truths of the Christian faith that are depicted and outlined for us in this chapter. I'm just going to look at five. There are others, but for the present, life will suffice. I noticed recently that some of these can be described for us under letter C in the English language. And so if you have your Bible open, we're thinking about the Christ. That's verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever and so on. In verse number 12, we have the cross. He suffered without the gate. Obviously, the cross is in view. Then in verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. The camp. And here we have the thought of separation. Where he is, we would like to be. And then there's the city in verse number 14. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And at least in general terms, heaven is included. And then in verses 20 and 21, we have the reference to the covenant, which brings us to the security of the believer that's available because of the one that was brought again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Unless you're forgotten already what we're going to talk about, let me just tell you. Whenever we think of the Christ, we think of the one that is the same. He's a title of deity. It's already been mentioned in some of the worship this morning that he starts off with that very theme in chapter 1. But thou art the same. More about that in a minute. And then, of course, the cross. You can't think of the cross without the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we think of the camp. And we'll look at that for a minute or two shortly. And it brings to us the thought of our separation. And then the city. We're not here to stay. We're sojourners. We're moving on. And then the covenant, the security that we enjoy in the person and work and exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's the introduction. I'd say a few simple things about each of these C's, and you can put more information as you develop it. Much could be said about each one, but I want to keep in mind some that might not be too familiar with these basic, simple things. Christ. He is the same, as we have indicated, title of deity. In the context, the writer is drawing attention to the greatness of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the one who was the same yesterday for the guides of a former generation. He's the same presently for the guides that have been raised. And then he's the same for the future guides that will be raised. And of course, these simple truths apply to us, the saints of this great dispensation. And we enjoy person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I read you there about one of his promises. There are several, but here's one of them. He will never leave thee, nor in no wise forsake thee. And that's a message on its own, and we take comfort from that very point, that he will never leave us, nor in no wise forsake us. Several mentions of that throughout the scriptures. And you know, the law of first mention is Genesis chapter 28, when the God of heaven told Jacob that night after he dreamed the dream that he would be with him and would not forsake him until he was brought back again to the land of Canaan. So we enjoy the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a cardinal truth of the Christian faith. You see, the next C is the cross, his suffering. maybe a little word here to some that might not know the background. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of every type, every shadow of the Old Testament. In this particular part of the chapter, the background is the Levitical offerings that were offered on the brazen altar in the courtyard of the tabernacle in the wilderness years ago. Every one of the five Levitical offerings were offered there. And the sin offering and the peace and the trespass offering, whenever the victims were slain, the blood was brought into the sanctuary, to the holy place. And the bodies of those beasts that were burned were taken by a fit man into the wilderness. And this was God's divine order when it came to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great antitype. And so, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And that's, for example, what John 19 and verse 17 tells us. Jesus, taking to himself the cross, went forth unto the place of a skull. We remind our hearts that it was outside the city walls of the old city, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the headquarters of Judaism. And it links us with the dispensation of the law. Remember that in Exodus 20, the law was given by Moses, the ceremonial law, the civil law, and the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. And that was God's way of bringing his people to himself in that great dispensation. But here the Hebrews needed to learn that through the death, burial, and glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that God had presented to his people was superseded by the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the camp in this context, I take it, is the camp of Judaism. And of course the Lord left it. And outside the city walls he died. There is a green hill far away without the city walls, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. Now, I'm going to make a suggestion to you that pictures in our day and generation the camp of religious confusion. The Western Hemisphere, we call it Christendom, but it might cover all false organized religion across the globe this morning. Millions are involved. No doubt that in a lot of these systems, there are true believers as individuals, but as systems, they're against the Lord Jesus Christ. They have fused him. He's outside of all that confusion, and that brings us to the New Testament assembly, where we, in a very practical way, gather in a district or a town or a city or an area, and we gather to the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ in a New Testament assembly. And has already been quoted, for two or three are having been gathered and are gathering unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. We enjoy his person. We enjoy his presence. We enjoy the scriptures. We enjoy the power of the Holy Spirit. And we enjoy everything that we do is in his name. And we recognize his lordship. And so there's a very unique sense that a New Testament assembly is what we're involved with. And there's a tendency in different parts of the world for those in assembly life move in other fellowships. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 shows very clearly that a believer in a New Testament assembly cannot be in fellowship in two fellowships. He has allegiance to one, And so we gather to his precious name. And even though with these restrictions that we have in different countries today, we can't fully move into the gatherings that we would like to be as we formerly did before lockdown. But we believe if the Lord doesn't come, there'll come a moment, a point, when we will be beyond that, and we can gather to his precious name. So much the camp. Now it is interesting that the next verse is verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Make a suggestion or two here. Chapter 11, by faith Abraham, he looked for a city whose builder and architect is God. Now at least in application, we can make a reference to heaven. And in chapter 12, there's another reference. That's where we have come to. The same city, the city of the living God, the heavenly New Jerusalem, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn Ones in heaven. What a privilege is ours. And I take it that that's the contrast in that chapter to the earthly Jerusalem. And the writer tells us that this is our final abode. And then, of course, it brings us to that verse that we have read. We have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You know, some of these hymns tell us a little about it. Heaven is our fatherland. Heaven is our home. We're here, pilgrims and strangers. This is not our home. But very soon, as we have been reminded, we're going to the Father's house, to heaven, to be with him forever. And if there's someone here listening to us today, and these restrictions now running for around 6 months, bring us to a place where we feel lonely, when we feel outcast, when we feel distraught or discouraged, and we wonder how much more we can take. I would like to lift your thoughts above the horizons of time and keep your eye on the prize. God is still on the throne. In the land of fadeless day lies the city foursquare. It shall never pass away, and there's no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain, nor fears, and they count not time by years, for there's no night. Interesting. I have met some dear folk this past week, and they're so distraught, and they're so discouraged and downcast, they wonder what it's all about. But we thank God for that which has gone before. Rocks and storms will fear no more. When on that eternal shore, drop the anchor, furl the sail, safe at home within the veil. That brings us then to the covenant. And just to stick with this passage, there are other references, but just for this particular passage, see in verses 20 and 21, the covenant tells us of the security for the believer, the God of peace, who brought again from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, resurrection. He has a divine desire, and that's in these verses, to make us mature in every good work, to do his will, working that which is well-pleasing in his sight. It's easy to read. It's easy to think about. But to do his will in every facet of life is not easy to accomplish, but we're indwelt the Holy Spirit of God and directed by the Holy Scriptures of truth, and we can be overcomers. And so he brings it in the sight of Jesus Christ, to whom we glory forever. Amen, we add. So on a very practical note, we might ask ourselves now, is our lifestyle to this point, all of us, is it well-pleasing to the God of heaven? And this is one of the passages, and even in other passages, talks about being well-pleasing to the God of heaven, to stay on the positive side. So we make simple applications to these cardinal truths of the Christian faith. Some of the highlights in this chapter, there are others, but these are sufficient for this occasion. There is the Christ, the cross, the camp, the city, the covenant. In view of everything that has come our way, because we are sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty and have been brought into this fellowship with divine persons, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, given the Word of God, meditate upon it. And I was asking myself just recently this week, in view of all that we have, how ever could we think of going back former lifestyles, even after conversion? So there's no excuse for any of us. And in these days of restriction, some dear people that we know in different parts of the world from assembly life have dropped out already. That never was God's mind. So whatever the circumstances, adverse or otherwise, we can depend in confidence on our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in the power of an indissoluble life at God's right hand. God help us then to remain faithful and loyal and devoted and true to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank God for some little measure that we understand some of the cardinal truths of the Christian faith, and maybe many of us know more than we're prepared to put into practice. The Lord help us then and enable us on a daily basis to do all we can to enjoy our position in Him and practically live for Him until the last step is taken. Thank you for listening and your kind attention. I trust the Lord will bless His word to all of us, and that we might be more devoted and give more preeminence to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His word and to the assembly until the last step is taken.